Thank you, folks. My. Romans chapter 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God. How well done. What a wonderful truth to be singing about it. If you're down in the dumps a little bit, get your Bible out and read all of Romans chapter 8. Amen. And as Sister Clark was singing it there, what a blessing. What a blessing. I want you to go to the Old Testament. I'm going to jump into a story. I'll remind you of it a little bit, make a few applications on it here this morning. I want you to go to 1 Chronicles chapter 12. We may have this ring in just a little bit. Take room. I know I need some help, but maybe not quite that much. Not going to turn me down too low, though, because I don't know how this is going to go. I hadn't tried it since last Sunday. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. And let me tell you something about Chronicles. How many of you know in Washington, D.C., in the Congress, they have what's called a congressional record? Sometimes when you turn on the TV and there's some dull, dry dust guy talking up there in Congress, it's called C-SPAN. Nobody watches that long, I hope. But if you do, you see one guy sometime at the platform, one or two around, but if they were to scan the audience, hardly nobody's there. Hardly nobody's there. That's what's called reading it in to the congressional record. The congressional record records all that stuff. It's a necessity that it do so. But that's what the book of 1st or 2nd Chronicles is for the government of Israel. When you read the same thing sometime in 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, and you get over to Chronicles and it seems to be repeating, you got to remember it's been recorded now. It's put on record. It's somewhat of a government record that's being established as you go through the book of 1st and 2nd Chronicles. Very necessary, but not a blow-by-blow event as it was happening in the daily activity, so to speak. So if that'll help you just a little bit, I'm jumping into a recorded record. I'm jumping in here to 1 Chronicles chapter 12, and I'm going to pick it up here in about verse 16 and read about three verses, and I'm going to speak to you on a word that you'll pick up here before I get through, and I'm going to speak to you this morning on the subject of betrayal. Betrayal. You know, we older Americans feel somewhat betrayed in our country today. If you were raised like I was, the values have so changed and got so perverted until you just really do feel left behind or certainly not in agreement with. And so many things that you hear today. I was thumbing through the TV. I had a little time to catch up some on TV this week. I had to sit and be sick for a little bit. And so I saw a commercial on there. That commercial had some fish in a great big aquarium talking. And they were trying to tell you and I, the fish were saying to us, we're not food, don't eat us. And then they had a sign out on the road, and they showed the news people showed the sign, great big sign, road sign. And it had a picture of crabs on it, and it said, we are not food. Now, I agree with that somewhat. I am not much on the... But anyway, they had the big sign out there, and then they had the commercial on the screen, we are not food. You know what? I felt so guilty till I went out to Red Lobster and got lunch. I didn't feel guilty at all. What a bunch of junk. Old-time values being sold out to the place of ridiculous. And yet somehow we zombie set and soak it up and don't do nothing about it. All right, I'll get off of that. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, and pick it up with me in verse 16. And there came of the children of Benjamin and of Judah to the hold unto David. Now the hold, H-O-L-D, it's probably a cave, a place he was holed up. Anybody ever been to Jackson, Wyoming, to the hole? Outlaws used to have a hole back there in the hills or the mountain or something. I don't know much about it. I was there one time. But here they were. David was hiding in a cave probably, back in a hole, in a hiding place. And David went out to meet them and answered and said unto them, if ye become
peaceably unto me to help me, mine heart shall be knit unto you. But if ye be come to betray me to mine enemies, seeing there is no wrong in mine hands, the God of our fathers look thereon and rebuke it. Then the Spirit came upon Amaziah, who was the chief of the captains, and he said, there thine are we, David, and on thy side, thou son of Jesse. Peace, peace be unto thee, and peace be to thine helpers. Now I want you to watch this statement. For thy God helpeth thee. Then David received them and made them captains of the bands. Now we get a little bit of background here on David. David is still a young man, but David's having to run and hide. Now this is a recording of what has already happened, but David has had to hide from Saul. David knew what it was to be betrayed, and that's why he's saying here, if you've come to betray me. David had been mistreated. David had been brought in from the sheepfold. David had come in at a time God raised him up to meet the great challenge of the giants and defeat the giant and save Israel. And yet Saul, the king, got jealous of David. Remember the story? And now David has been hiding and running basically for his life. And yes, he's been betrayed. Yes, he's been mistreated. I can imagine what he would have been saying. He would have been probably saying something like this. I was all right on the sheepfold. I was out there in the hills taking care of the sheep. I didn't have to come in and help you. I didn't have to get mistreated like this. But he could have been having that kind of pity party. I don't much think he was, but he'd been betrayed. He knew what it was to be betrayed. He probably remembered when Samuel the prophet had come to his dad's house. And David was young. He was out there watching the sheep, and the other seven brothers were in the house. Remember the story? And how that when Samuel looked through all them, he said, no, none of these are the man. None of them. I look on the outward appearance and the height of their stature, but they're not the man. Don't you have another son? And Jesse said, got a young boy out there keeping the sheep. He'll be the eighth one, eight sons. They brought him in, and you remember the old prophet Samuel anointed him to be king. But you got to remember something. David's young. Later on, David's called in to play his music before the king. But then later on, brought back to defeat the giant. And then Saul gets jealous of him, and David's having to run for his life. David's been betrayed. He knew what betrayal was. Most of us learn in early in life the pain of being betrayed, don't we, a little bit? Here's the time and location of the hills and caves of Israel. But early in life, somewhere in our location, we probably learned about being betrayed a little bit. Mother used to betray us early in the morning when she'd slip castor oil into the orange juice. Anybody ever have that experience? If you haven't, thank God. That's bad stuff. Sometime as we grow up in life, sometime we get mistreated. We get betrayed sometime. It's torn down now, but right over here on Lake Eva, there used to be a great big old wooden ball stadium. And sometimes the northern teams would come down, and they would winter in Haines City and Winter Haven. And for several weeks out of the year, they'd be down there practicing ball and playing some exposition games for us. And I got a job with them as being bat boy. Now, I was a poor kid. You got to understand what a baseball and a bat meant to a kid at that age. And I had a fellow tell me, he said, if you'll clean up every afternoon after the team, if you'll take the clay off their shoes, if you'll sweep the floors, if you'll gather up all the equipment, he said, and about what it averaged out to, it had been about 30 days, and I had figured out my pay would be about $1 an afternoon, and I could save up almost $30. That was something. I jumped at that. And I worked hard at it, and I went out and worked on Saturdays. And every week I'd think he's going to pay me, and every week he'd say next week and next week and next week. And finally I go down one afternoon and no team is there, no equipment is there, nobody is there. The only thing I picked up and left with was a few broken bats and battered up balls. That's all I got for it. I felt betrayed. I still probably would have done it for nothing, but at the same time, we've all at one time or another in our life had something that we felt somewhat betrayed on, and quite often as kids, it's generally an adult that does it to us. But I want to look in the text here, and I want to see what we can glean and examine from it here just a little bit. To begin with, I want you to notice in the text David's question. When they came up to him here, David said, if you become peaceably, okay. But if you come to betray me, verse 17, to mine enemies. That's the question that was on his mind. Why was it on his mind? It was on his mind because it happened to him before. You got to remember, he's out there hiding. He's been hiding out there before. And there was a time that David was running, and he had a few men with him, and he had nothing to eat, and he had no weapons. And he went into the location of the Jewish priest, and he went in there, and he asked the priest, do you have anything to eat? And the priest said, all we've got is the showbread, the bread that's been cooked toward the sacrifice and the offering of God. Remember the story? And David said, okay. And so the priest gave him the bread, and David said, we have no weapons. And so, amazing thing, the priest said, we've got one sword. It's a big one. It's the one that belonged to Goliath, the giant that you slew. And David said, there's no sword like that. Give it to me. And so the priest gave him the sword, and he gave him the showbread, but there was somebody over there watching and listening. His name was a name that's a little unusual. It was Doeg, D-O-E-G, Doeg. Doeg was listening also. Later on, when Saul and his army comes hunting for David, Doeg comes and squeals and says, the priest helped him. Remember the story? And Saul told his men, go ahead and slay the priest because they helped David. And betrayed his own priest there. And his men wouldn't do it. But however, Saul turned around to Doeg and said, you do it. And you ever read your Bible, ever read that story? It's in there. It's in there. And it's quite interesting, the betrayal, the betrayal. Everywhere you turn around, David had been very familiar with what it was to be betrayed. And I want to say this, we see a lot of betrayal in the news today, and you knew I'd get around to that, and I'm just going to touch it and run on. But we're in a day and time today where they keep hunting a crime and creating a crime and getting everybody to betray everybody. I've been looking for them to dig up President Trump's wife, not wife, mother, dig up the mother and see if she'll take immunity to testify against him. It's not just how stupid it's gotten. Just how stupid it's gotten. But I want to tell you what that tells about all of us. Mankind's nature is to not be loyal, not be true, but to betray. That's man's nature. That's the fallen nature. We're looking at a crowd that will betray and destroy our nation to keep their own power struggle going and to win their position. Yeah, man, somebody said, if you want a friend in Washington, D.C., get a dog. You know what they mean by that? There's just no one else you're going to find that'll be loyal to you. They'll all betray you. And I want to say, in betraying for power's sake, they're betraying the good and well-being of a whole nation today. And hurting us all with that kind of junk. Voting's coming, and don't ask me who to vote for. I tell you how you can easily figure out who to vote for, bro. You want the formula? Time out. I'll tell you right now. Here's what you do. Find out where they stand on the issues. If they stand where you do, I mean, if you're a socialist and you want the borders open and you want the police fired and you want them all to come in and move into your living room and bedroom tonight, if you are a socialist, then vote for the socialist crowd. But if you're not, find out who they are and vote against them. Amen and amen, Mickey. Yeah, amen. I look right here and I see this mess right here. I see this betrayal. I see David being on guard. Somebody comes to visit him back here in the cave and he's concerned. Are you on my side or not? Are you going to sell me out or not? Everybody else has sold me out. They hadn't been true to me. Saul has sold me out. And the old Doeg there had the priest killed just because they gave me something to eat. It's amazing how little something gets prosecuted
today. But if it's on the other side, it don't get prosecuted at all. That's what it is. Amen. But I tell you what else I see right here. I see David's faith, and I like this. Same verse, verse 17. What did David say? David said, I've done no wrong. Nothing no wrong in my hands. But what else does he say? He said, the God of our fathers looked thereon and rebuke it. Now, David said, you may outnumber me. You may have a bigger crowd coming. You may not be on my side. You may want to sell me out to the enemies. But if you do, God is watching. And God will have the ultimate decision and the ultimate judgment to pass. And I want to say to you today, as I look around on the scene in the world, and I look around especially in this scene in my beloved America, I want to say I'm looking to the place, and I believe I am right. I believe the only thing that we got any real hope in today is God's intervention. Just like David had. You think about it. I tell you what I'm doing. I'm doing what I can. I'll vote as right as I can. I'll lift my voice as right as I can. But I know in the long run, what's God going to say? What's God going to do? I tell you something, I've got confidence in what God's going to do. Even if he don't do what I think he ought to do, it'll still be the right thing in the long run. Amen? And David here said, I may not have any power to withstand you guys. You may be coming in to spy me out, to trade me off to the enemies and betray me here and there. But I want to tell you, there's a God you're going to have to answer to. And America's going to have to answer to God. And the bad crowd, evil crowd, perversion crowd, anti-God crowd in America is going to answer to God one day. Amen. David's faith here. He said, I didn't do any wrong. I'm not guilty. And I'm going to turn it over to God. You know, if you just, I've said it over and over, I'm going to keep saying it. If you itemize who's on for this and who's for that and who's for this and who's against this, who's for that. If you will analyze it and you don't know where to come down, there's something that you need to do. Get into the Word of God and get into the yardstick. Get in and measure it and weigh it by what God says about it. You won't have a bit of problem. You say, I don't like Trump's attitude. I don't either. I wouldn't marry him. Even if I was a rich woman, I don't really care for his language that much. But I want to tell you this. If God picked up a dirty stick to do a dirty job with and God's doing it, it's okay with me. It might have taken just that kind of tool for God to use. But I'll tell you what, when he comes down on the issue of saving the babies and not aborting 60 million of them since 1973, if he's coming down on the side against the homosexual crowd and opening our restrooms to every kind of pervert, then I'm on that side. If he's come in place, he wants to build up the borders and put the police out there and stop the murderers from coming in and the illegals coming in and the dope crowd coming in. I don't care how dirty the stick is. God can still hit a clean lick with it. And that seems to be what's happening, but I don't know how it's going to shake out. Some of you, well, do you know what he said? So what? Tell me what he did. Tell me what he did when it comes to standing for the right issues. And I'm just simply saying this to you. David here said God's going to be the judge. And I'm telling you, God's going to be the judge. And what God is going to do, he's going to come down on the side that is Bible, the side that is right, the side that is moral when it comes to the perversion and the immorality of killing the innocent lives. So I'm going to stand on that side. If God says, okay, I'm just going to let it seek its own evil level. That's God's business. But I know this. We humanly are not going to save it, but that don't mean we're not supposed to say what's right and stand for what's right. David had a question here. Are you going to betray me? Then we see David's faith, and then we see Amasa's, however we say his name, we see his answer. Now, this was a man that came up speaking for the rest of them here. And he came up and spoke in verse 18, and the Spirit came upon him. Now, look, that means God came upon him. The answer is going to be God's answer. It says that Amasa there, who was chief of the captains, and he said, "Thine are we, David, and on thy side, thou son of Jesse. Peace, peace be unto you, and peace be to thine helpers." Now, here's part I like. "For thy God helpeth thee." Now, how do you know that? He knew it, didn't he? Let me ask you today, don't we know which side God's on? Don't we know what God stands for? Sure we do. Sure we do. All Mesa was doing here was agreeing. He was stating the obvious. He says, "For thy God helpeth thee." You know, he could probably count up all the stories that God had delivered David. Why David was still alive. Why Saul had not been able to kill him. He could probably tell you all those stories. He'd been watching what God was doing in David's life. Do you know what God does in your life is easily seen by others? Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. I remember a number of years ago, I hadn't been saved very long. I'd quit my race cars and had been running a bulldozer, and it got so wet we couldn't even keep working and need a job awful bad, and I applied to a place for a job. And went into the place and talked to the man, and he asked me some questions about honesty and stuff, and I finally kept on till I gave him kind of a Christian testimony. I said, "Look, I'm doing my best. I've been saved. I'm trying to live by the Bible. I'm going to church. I'm teaching a Sunday school class." And he let me know he didn't give any care at all about my church or that, but he gave me the job. And I went to work for him, and I'd given him that testimony at that time. I told him, because the question of honesty came up. It came up because in that particular business, it was real easy to steal from the business. And he knew a lot of people were, but he kind of accepted a certain percentage. If they didn't take too much, he basically allowed it, I reckon. He knew it was going on. After 2 or 3 months, he called me back in the office one day, and he said, "Mickey," he said, "I want to ask you something. Is there anybody else over there at your church like you that would like a job?" Now, you see what? He wasn't telling me he wanted to get saved. He wasn't telling me he wanted to receive Christ. He's wanting to tell me he wanted the benefits that came from people that had accepted Christ, that had God in their life, that had a higher rule to live by, and people that would be honest and not steal his money. He liked that part of it. But he had to admit he saw God made a difference. God was making a difference. When God makes a difference in your life, people will see it. People will know it. They'll recognize it. It'll be easily seen by others. I could go through a lot of stories of how God's been with me when maybe I didn't know he was till it was after it was over. And you could tell stories like that also. And I've had folks right here in the ministry in the time I've been here in this town as pastor. I've had folks when we started to do something like a hotel there or something else. I've heard the statements, "He bit off too much this time." I'd have bit off too much a long time ago if God wasn't in it. But if God's in it, I've never bit off too much. He's always seen me through it. And when he has, somebody said, "Hey, God must be in that." I want to say to you, what we need to see in our nation is God in it. What we need to see in the culture or lack of it in our America today is for God to get back in it, for God to be recognized in it again. And David was saying, "You can betray me if you want to, but I'm going to turn you over to the Lord. He's the final judge. He's the one who'll make the final call." And I want to say to our country today, I don't know where God's going to give us any more time or if it's fixing to wipe out. I don't know. But it's okay if God's in it. He's going to take it out like he wants it to. Amen. Amen. You know, old Amasa's choice here, that's all he was doing was making a choice. He was just voting. That's all he was doing. He was choosing a position. He was looking at the evil side of King Saul and all he'd done.
killing the priest and doing all the things. And he was looking and saying, that's not my side. David is my side. I see the hand of God on David, so I'm going to choose David's side. And today, folks, you're choosing all the time which side you're going to be on. Identify the side. Don't get on a side by mistake. If you're a socialist, go that way. If you want to open all the borders, go that way. If you want to be an old-fashioned American that stands for God, flag, and country, then get on God's side over here. Simple as that. And I know I'm on the radio and say, aren't you afraid to preach like? No. I'm more afraid if I didn't. Amen. Amen. Help yourself. Amasa here made a choice. I've made a choice. Many of you have made a choice. I've looked at the evil and said, that's not my side. Saul is not my side. David is my side. Now I want to choose the right side. Amen. You know, everybody's choosing today, choosing in our nation. No doubt about that. Choosing in your own life, choosing in your family's life. Choices. There's all choices, all choices. You can make any choice you want to. Any choice you want to. Only thing is, remember, you get the consequences with it. Whatever choice you made, you get the consequences with it. And if you make the right choice, good consequences. Make the bad choice, bad consequences. That's a common rule. That's pretty much the way it shakes out. But everybody is choosing today. We either live for God or for self. I'm talking to you as a believer. If you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, you're surely living for self. You're so afraid you're going to give up something for God. Isn't that amazing? I used to like to see the bumper sticker. You don't see some of these plain old bumper stickers like you used to see. I remember a bumper sticker years ago in the back of a car, and it said this. It said, what did I give up to become a Christian? And then in fiery letters on the bottom, it said, hell. Yeah, hell. That's what you give up to become a Christian. Isn't it awful that you'd have to give up hell? What's the matter? Where's our thinking at? You see, there's always consequences of whatever choice you make. You choose right, you choose wrong, you choose God, you choose the other way. You can choose. God won't stop you from choosing. But you will get the consequences in the package. Yes, you will. And when you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son that left heaven's glory and died for your sins on the cross of Calvary, God let him be crucified. He let him be buried. But then he brought him up from the dead, showing he'd accepted that stamp of payment that had been made for our sins. You see, the truth is, you make a choice about that. Who are you going to choose? Accept him, reject him. Let him be your Savior. Reject him as your Savior. You know, you betray yourself. It's an awful thing to betray your family. It's an awful thing to see friends betray friends. But when you think about this, you betray your own soul. That's a big betrayal. Betray the God that loved you and gave his only begotten Son to die for you. Betray him. That's a big betrayal. You know what the scripture says about that? You know why men betray God so much? They betray God because they fear men. That's what the scripture tells you. But it tells you not to fear just him that can kill the body, but fear him that can kill both body and soul in hell. And it's not talking about the devil having that power. He don't have that power. Only God has that power. Yes, man can kill the body, and that's all he can do, Jesus said. Fear him that can kill both the body and soul in hell. When you reject God, there are consequences that you can never get around. You can never miss paying. See, that God that gave you life, when there was a crowd of people around the bed or the nursery or the hospital glass window, and they goo-gooed at you when you were first born, the truth is, God gave you that life. He gave you that breath. He gave you that future.
What have you done with it? Have you betrayed him with it? You have, if you've never said, Lord, thank you that you gave your son to die for my sins. Thank you that he paid the price I couldn't pay, shed the blood that would cover my sins that nobody else could cover. Lord, I won't betray you. I'll receive your son as my Lord Jesus, my Savior. Have you ever done that? You may not like this. You might not like to say, well, preacher, call me a traitor. No, the Bible called you that. You betrayed the Savior when you reject him. I challenge you, don't do that. Let him be your Savior. He'll receive you if you let him this morning. You'll vote today. You'll turn from the pew. You'll walk out the aisle. That's a vote. Or you'll turn and come forward if you've never received Christ. That's a vote. Which one will it be today? Please don't betray the one that loved you enough to give his son for you on the cross. Would you bow your head with me and let's stand, please. Father, we come to you in prayer. We commit the invitation to you. Lord, I can't save a soul in this building. I remember when you saved my soul, Father. You gave me a choice, a vote, to receive you or betray you. When I heard the story and realized what you'd done for me and given your son, I thank you, Father, for that day I said yes to Jesus. And Father, there's somebody listening right now, in radio land or here in the building, God, I pray for them. That's all I can do, Father. I can't walk the aisle for them. All I can do is tell them Jesus will save them if they'll come to him. And Father, I remember the very words of the Lord Jesus that said, whosoever cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. I tell them you promised this morning, Father, but it's up to them. I pray they'd come and receive Christ and have their sins forgiven and power to live a different direction in this world than they're living now. I commit it to you and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. I'll step to the front. Will you meet me here? Maybe God's asked you to come for some other reason. Move a membership or something else. I don't know. Do what God asked you to do. You come as we sing. Just how